begin this journey to help you start living the life you were intended to live. So grab your pen and paper and let's start to rewrite your story. Hello and welcome to episode 5, guys. Woohoo! Before we get started on that pesky little thing called rejection part 2, I wanted to acknowledge a review that was left for me. The username is boo-e, and the title is called Sincere and Authentic. It says, the name speaks for itself. This podcast carries hope to its listeners. Sandy, the host, is sincere and authentic. Her perspective and insight brings such a light to heavy situations. I actually know who this person is, and if you're listening, friend, thank you so much for leaving me a review. It means the world to me. I really appreciate your kind words. Who's ready to get this party started? I hope that you've listened to part 1 of that pesky little thing called rejection, because you're going to be a little bit lost if you've jumped in on episode 5. So I want to recommend you going back to number 4 and actually seeing the breakdown of rejection. And make sure that if you're listening and tuning in today, that you leave me a review. That is so important to me. A lot of times when we're looking for podcasts to listen to, a lot of people go to the reviews to see like, what is it about? Or go to the show notes and see like, what's this topic about? And so it really helps to just bring people in more. Further ado, let's get this party started. Okay, so if you tuned in last week, the pesky little thing called rejection, it was a lot to take in. It was heavy. It really talked about different kinds of wounds that we experience, how wounds come in, rejections that come in, peer rejection, church rejection. A lot of different things were mentioned in that. So today we're really going to focus on reactions to rejection. Have you ever witnessed someone that responded to you in a certain way or was stonewalling for whatever reason, and you're just kind of left with like, what is the problem and why are you acting this way? A lot of times when people are going through rejection, basically it's just kind of like they don't know how to respond in a healthy manner. They can easily have wrong rejections or reactions to rejection to lash out at others in confrontations of anger or even bitterness or rebellion. Other of our reactions such as self-pity, maybe fears, discouragement, they're kind of buried deep within us and don't even recognize when they're there. Those reactions should make you wonder, like, where's this coming from? And digging a little deeper to figure out what's going on inside of you. So let's start with one reaction that could be very common: bitterness. That statement that they say, it's like drinking a shot of poison but expecting the other person to die. That's kind of like how rejection is. It begins to grow stronger and stronger, and sometimes it comes through a lot of repeated rejections and feedings upon the hurts, like one thing after the other, that wound just speaks clearly to you. And then it begins to produce anger and hatred and retaliating and violence. Honestly, with bitterness, it's kind of like memory recall. Like you're just kind of playing the cassette over and over in our minds. And it just continues to remind you of those painful memories of past hurts. And basically, it just causes it to just replay and causes to remind you of the things that have happened to you. And even in this world today, you could see that there's bitterness everywhere around us. There's so much hatred and anger in this world. And if you really start to hone in on why people are responding this certain way, it's because maybe they haven't felt heard or were rejected that caused them to be this way. Not that it makes it okay, but this was the only way of them expressing how they feel by just becoming angry and violent and doing things that could cause a lot of harm to others. Honestly, if we begin to really look into how bitterness has really invaded our minds and hearts, the sooner that we begin to deal with that, it's easier to destroy. And letting go of getting to the root of where is this coming from and why, and you may find that it's due to rejection. Another reaction is having self-pity, which is an inward reaction to rejection. And it's kind of self-afflicting, where you permit yourself to indulge in the thoughts of unfairness until you are thoroughly just feeling miserable about certain things. Another common one is escaping from those feelings that you're feeling. So you begin to feel something, and instead of acknowledging it or honing in on it, you just kind of run away from that. It's almost like we become escape artists and become really good at avoiding our feelings. A lot of times you find people that even go into daydreaming. Like, you can be with them and they've kind of zoned out, and even in the clinical world, we call that disassociation. I've also come to learn that we can daydream while someone is there just to really escape what's happening around us, or we're sensing that sense of rejection happening, or feel a certain way around certain individuals that we escape. I've even seen individuals that have either taken alcohol or drugs, knowing that they're going over to a family member's home and don't necessarily know how to cope with things, and they wind up taking those substances to help them cope while they're there. Their reaction is guilt, but it is the most needless burden that a person can bear. It can come in so many ways. Even on the last episode, I talked about different forms of abuse that happen. Well, this is where guilt can play into our lives, where we feel like it was our fault why those things happened to us, when the reality of it is that it really maybe never had anything to do with you. It was just done to you. Even saying things like, I deserve the way that I was treated. This is my fault. I'm just reaping what I've done. So many excuses, and the way that guilt plays out can literally cripple us. And what saddens me the most, that in a lot of cases, those negative attitudes towards ourselves are the end result of having been belittled and blamed by others. Usually it's our own family that's caused that. And carrying the burden, think that all this hurt I deserve. It leaves a person feeling like there's no remedy, there's no solution, there's no outcome that can change this with that mindset and with that reaction of guilt. Tell you what, with some of the things that I see and clients that I've worked with, shame and guilt are one of the biggest things that paralyze people. And it brings me such sadness because they've believed and contracted that this is the way life is going to be. It's like the enemy is lurking and just reminding them and instilling shame and guilt. They'll always remain stuck if they never face where it's coming from. The next one is inferiority, where maybe throughout your life you were put down a lot, or compared to someone else, compared to a sibling, or you would compare yourself to others, feeling like you're less than. Like, you look at all of your qualities and say to yourself, like, I'm so inadequate, or I'm such a failure because look at them and everything they have, or the kind of person they are. It's such a lie. The next reaction is the fear not being loved. And if you were not loved by those that should have loved you, you're real prone to this part. Because in your day-to-day walk and relationships, you're going to struggle with this. Or even in your spiritual walk, think that you are not worthy of receiving His love. And so therefore, you're more prone to this insecurity in your life. The next one is one that's truly close to my heart, because I do feel I was born to breathe hope into the lives of those that are hopeless. Have you ever been around someone that just seems like they have lost the fight? They are so discouraged. Nothing you can say can change their mind. They're kind of walking around unemotional. Like, with somebody that has lost hope, it's like something has died within them. Like, they're not living. They're not existing. Like, they've just dried up inside. And hopelessness leads to discouragement, despair, defeat, and even depression. Like, literally, without hope, there's no joy. Where there's not a desire to just live, leads to the heaviness of heart, and even people wanting to commit suicide. If you were to see the statistics of someone that tries to take their life, they've lost hope. They stop believing. They believe this is the best solution for their lives. This hits home a little bit because our family actually lost our stepdaughter, and she had committed suicide. And when we got the news of that, it was heartbreaking. I tried to understand as why. I think the victims of family members that have committed suicide, there's nothing you could say to them to help them understand, because they weren't living in whatever that individual was living in. And so it just really saddens me to know that it's a real thing. Like, hopelessness can lead someone to want to end their lives. The next reaction would be defensiveness. It's kind of like if you have a puppy, which I have one puppy and a 10-year-old boxer, when they're hurt, they're prone to bite you. Or if you can't relate with a puppy, then maybe you can relate with this statement that says, hurt people. From our own hurt, we have a tendency to hurt others, not purposely and sometimes purposely. This one I can really relate to too, because at times I found myself being very critical or even judgmental, honestly. And it's because inside I'm super sensitive and want to lash out because of my own pain. And God, have I done that so many times throughout my life with my family, with friends. And that's not something that I'm proud of, but it helps me to understand that it's a good indicator to me to ask myself, why are you being so defensive or being critical or judgmental towards yourself, family members, others, like what's going on? And basically it's like you're judging others who have hurt you or have judged you. With judgmental people, they're prone to project their own faults into others. So basically you may notice something in someone else or accuse them of something, and it makes that other person like kind of look within themselves and be like, what? So for instance, I actually did an assignment and one of my professors said to me, your letter was not as empathetic. And this professor has known me for maybe 5 weeks. And I really took offense to that. I had to literally look inside myself. And then I realized that a lot of times even people can see the problem within themselves, but transfer blame over to others. And I'm not saying this is what my professor did, I'm just saying it made me really look in, like, am I having empathy on people? Which that's who I am. I didn't allow that to sit dormant. I attacked it within myself and thinking, well, maybe I could have done a better job in being more empathetic somehow. But to me, my own rejection spoke that I wasn't an empathetic person. It brought out, what is he saying about me? Like, there's something wrong with me. And again, that's where that spirit of rejection starts to kick in and pull us apart. So we have to be careful with that pesky little thing that tries to take root and tries to speak a different language that possibly we are hearing one way, but the person that is saying it is not meaning it that way that we're taking it. Another reaction could be distrust and disrespect. You know, how many times have we been hurt and felt betrayed by someone? Especially if you lived the life of rejection or have been rejected, how can one begin to trust and respect those who've wounded them by rejection or by betrayal, or that have been affected by abandonment or even unfaithfulness? Trust is really hard to rebuild, because once it's been destroyed, even relationships can be destroyed by it. Trust can be reestablished, but it's gonna take a lot of effort. When one is learning to rebuild the trust, it's gonna take time, patience, and persistence. You know what that's like when you lose trust for someone that has hurt you. I even think about even my own upbringing of having a absent father. My biological father wasn't in my life. So what I did see was he was a partier and also would hit my mother. I think even that played a role into my life, that when I became an adult, I had a strong distrust and a disrespect for men in general. Whether the man in my life was a boyfriend or even my husband or a pastor or any man, these were the fears that were speaking loudly to me to not trust a man. And the last reaction to rejection is the hardness of heart. It's almost like we become this turtle and hide in the shell. Kind of forms a protection for no one to hurt us. We become hard. We take on this attitude that I am not going to allow anybody to run over me or be hurt by other people any longer. We feel like we have to be rough and tough and will not let anyone like penetrate us or get to us. Even growing up, any kind of emotions or crying was considered a sign of weakness. So I learned how to become hardened in feelings. I even recall getting news that somebody had passed away and not even shedding a tear because I wasn't able to freely express my emotion, which then created this hardness of heart within me. I just became numb. And see, living in that type of lifestyle and then getting into adulthood, it really trained me to just remain as a strong individual, which I thought that was such a great thing, was to be strong and persevere through hard times. And if I showed any type of emotion, then I was weak. It's amazing to me how our hearts can deceive us and even our minds. And even with all of these reactions that I spoke about today, God doesn't want you to live in that. God doesn't want you to respond through those reactions. He wants to be able to just bring healing to your heart today. So I don't know who's on the other side of this, and it's not by coincidence that you're here. God is wanting to heal those areas of rejection, and it's time to just really look at our reactions and dig deeper on, why do I respond this way? Or why has my heart become hardened? Or why am I so defensive? What is it? And you may be saying today, Sandy, you have no idea what I've gone through. And you're right, I do not. If any part of this story of mine can minister to you, God can bring healing to you too, because He loves you that much. To help you with your bitterness, He wants to help you with the way that you escape and handle your emotion. He wants to heal you of the guilt that you've been carrying around for so long. He doesn't want you to continue putting yourself down all these years. He wants to talk to those insecurities and tell you how much He loves you and wants to bring healing. He wants you to hope again, to begin to rebuild those areas that have been knocked down by rejection. And all these years you've just wondered, like, why do I respond this way? Or I want to get better in this and have no idea on how to do this. I do believe it begins with creating an awareness to those areas of your life, beginning even with your mind and your heart. It was a hard journey, and trust me guys, it's not easy. I just remember being like Stone Cold Steve Austin, the wrestler, you know? That was totally me, because I just felt like I could never feel, even when I wanted to. I was so numb to everything that had happened in my life. But I want to bring encouragement to you today, because guess what? I actually cry at Publix commercials. Did you hear me? Publix commercials. I start boo-hooing, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? I cry about everything now. And I wish I could say it was me and this self-help and whatnot. No, it was Jesus that interrupted my life and began to break these different responses and showing me where they stem from. And He wants to do the same thing for you today. Begin taking small steps. And when you notice a particular reaction, journal it down and ask yourself and do some soul searching inside on, where is this coming from? I promise you, you'll get your answer. There are positive solutions to all of our hurts and frustrations. We must just learn on how to apply the tools that we need to bring forth the healing. I want to leave a word of encouragement for you today, wherever you're at, whether you're listening from home, work, on your way to pick up kids, on a trip, whatever it is. I know that God wanted you to listen to this today. And God wants to be able to breathe hope into those dead areas of your lives, to those areas of your lives that have been sitting dormant. He is wanting to bring healing. I'm not sure if you know about God or a faith believer, or maybe you don't even believe in God. But one of the things that God says is, test me. Will you test Him today? Will you cry out to God in this? And maybe you feel like, I don't know what that looks like, or I don't even know what I'm doing, Sandy. It sounds crazy sitting in a car, sitting in your office, just crying out to God. Just asking God, like, if you're real, will you show yourself to me? I'm telling you, He will. I hated God. I felt like, where was He when I needed Him the most? I was a product of rejection. I can teach on rejection and show people this is how you reject. And unfortunately, that's not something I'm proud of, but I knew how to do it and do it well, because I was so wounded inside. It's time to take the first step, guys. And by you listening, God already has planted a seed in your heart. And this brings me joy, because maybe I just needed to be the one that planted the seed to tell you that you are loved. It's time for you to get out of your shell and begin to feel again, begin to trust again. And I want to thank you for staying tuned in to this episode, because it shows that it spiked an interest in you and remind you that you are loved and called to do amazing things. That no matter what your story is, God wants to rewrite your story. The things that we go through in life is not in vain, and it doesn't go wasted. God does use it for His glory, because one day there's going to be another person just like you, or reminds you of you, and you're able to tell them your story and how you overcame and how you healed from these these hard places that you had to endure throughout your life, people are going to recognize something different about you. And you're able to share that story. But we must begin to rewrite those areas of our lives because we're not meant to stay in that state of rejection. If you're needing help in this area today, please take a look at the show notes. My information is on there. Or call a friend that you can trust and share some of your takeaways from today's episode and ask them to hold you accountable. You are worth that. You are worth healing. You are worth going to those areas of your life that you've been sitting in and that have hurt you. And it's time to take back your life. The enemy wants you to just remain the same and remain stuck in these roots of rejection, to continue to react to things. He doesn't want you to be an overcomer, but you are an overcomer. And whatever you're facing today, God is saying, give it to me. Allow him in your life. Even whatever it is that you have been running from, God is saying, I want that. I typically don't end with a prayer, but for today, I feel led to pray. Lord, I thank you for whoever's listening today. Lord, I ask that you would meet them where they're at. And God, if they don't know you, that they'd come to know you. God, I thank you for the seeds that have been planted today. Lord, I pray that they would go in the deep crevices of their hearts. God, begin the healing process of those who have been searching for you, who have been in a cycle of not understanding why they respond the way that they do, and even the pain that they're feeling today. God, will you touch their hearts in a special way? Encounter their lives. God, will they reflect back on today and say, it was that message that began the process of my healing and being able to rewrite my story again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for listening to the Carriers of Hope podcast. If you found value in today's episode, will you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the channel and go ahead and leave me a review? Be sure to share it with your friends and family, and together we can help breathe hope one life at a time. If you're interested in doing a coaching session, let's connect at carriersofhope.com, and be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Carriers of Hope.